We learned yesterday, we're holding on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about the Edim and how, if they have it, if there's a discrepancy of one day in the month between their Eidos, then we say that that doesn't necessarily invalidate their Eidos because it means one of them knew that the previous month was 30 days and the other one did not. But we said that that applies only until most only until half the month has passed. Once it's in the second half of the month, then Rabbi Acha bar Chanina said in the name of Rabbi Ami, in the name of Rabbi Asi, was said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that then at that point we expect them to already know whether it was a Chodesh Mole or Chodesh Chos, the previous one, and then they have to then their address has to match up as far as the days of the month. So now the Gemara is going to bring something else that also has to do with the first half of the month, and also which Rabbi Acha, the same Amora, the same chain of Amoraim, says the following din. Up until what point in the month can we bench the Chodesh, meaning Kiddush Levana? An interesting thing I once noticed, and I'm not sure what the significance of it is. We Ashkenazim call this bracha Kiddush Levana, and then we have the one every 28 years that we say on the sun, that we say to thank Hashem for creating the sun. We call it Birkas Achama. Sfardim call the one for the moon Birkat, whatever halavana, and the one for the sun, at least some Sfardim call Kiddush Achama. What the difference is, why the flip, I have no idea. Anyway. The point is, though, that up until what point in the month can you bench the new moon? Can you say Kiddush Levana? Until its lacking part, until its concave part is filled in, as we're going to see in a second, what that means. Well, so for Kama, so how much is that? Amar of Yaakov Ba'idi, Amar of Yehuda Ad Shiva. It means up until 7 days, because after 7 days, as the Gemara is going to point out in a second, the moon is half full. So in other words, in that case, we can say the word Pegimasa can mean the fact that the crescent of the moon is concave, the fact that it has a curve, that it has an inner curve. Well, once you reach 7 days in the month, it doesn't anymore because then it's half full. So at that point, then according to that way of looking at it, that would be the end of the time for Kiddush Levana. Now Doi Amri, the Chachamim of Nahardor said, Ad Shisha Oser, up till the 16th. Now most poskim explain that when the Gemara says the 16th, there are in fact different gersois over here, whether in fact it's the 16th or whether it's earlier the 15th or even the 14th. Even according to the gersa we have in front of us, the 16th, Mefoshim point out, we don't necessarily literally mean up till and including the 16th of the month, because definitely there comes a point where the definitely there comes a point where the after the middle of the month, the moon starts diminishing. By the time you're reaching the 16th already, on the face of it, the moon is diminishing in size, and how can you say Kiddush Levana anymore? So they explain it means up to the 16th, but not including the 16th itself, and really you have the poskim talk about, ultimately going back to the Maharil, that it means really that we have to go only until half of Choftes Yud Beis Tashtzag. You take the average length of a month, 29 days, 12 hours, 793 chalokim, divided in half, it comes to 14 days, 18 hours and change, and that would really be the time from the Molad that would be the latest that you could do Kiddush Levana. With that said, though, there's Chassam Sofer, the Yad Raman, or Gemara says something similar, that maybe in fact it can mean in that maybe in fact it can mean till up until and including even the 16th, in the sense, even though yes, the moon is diminishing, is starting to diminish in size, it doesn't look any smaller to our eyes until some time has passed since that point, since opposition. So therefore, so maybe you could get away then with maybe you could actually get away with doing Kiddush Levana on the 16th. The Chassam Sofer actually wrote a tshuva where one time there was a town where there was an epidemic going on and it was cloudy and they weren't able to be Mekadosh the Levana and they were worried that it's a bad siman. So the Chassam Sofer says under such conditions we could give them a heter to do Kiddush Levana on the 16th. It happened at least once over the years of the Rebbe's Nasius. It's recorded that such a thing happened and the Rebbe was Mekadosh the Levana on the night of the 16th and said that he's being somech on the Chassam Sofer. When not, when it's definitely later than that. Another point that Maharil says, by the way, which the post can bring, is that if there's a lunar eclipse that month, then the time of the lunar eclipse is the deadline for Kiddush Levana, because the whole point is we can't be bothered with the Chacham aren't going to bother everybody to go and figure out the time of the true Molad and the time of the true opposition. But when you have a lunar eclipse, which by definition is the time of opposition, then that would be the deadline for that month. In any case, when it happens that you weren't able to say it up until that point, there are some poskim that give an interesting idea. Soon the Gemara is going to bring the actual nusach of the bracha that you should say. So in that case, there was some Gdolei Yisrael who were in a situation like that when they couldn't say Kiddush Levana in time. They would take out a Gemara and they would read the section of the Gemara, including the bracha, and therefore they can sort of be yotze that way. But it's derech limud rather than derech tefillah.
And the idea of a lunar eclipse is only at a certain gate.
A lunar eclipse, by definition, is at the moment when the sun, the earth, and the moon are in a straight line.
And that has to be on the 15th.
And that's always going to be in the middle of the month on the 15th, yeah. The only difference is most months, the reason there's not an eclipse is because the moon is higher or lower, it's further north or south than the sun, and therefore the earth doesn't block the sun's light from reaching the moon. At a time of an eclipse means that the moon is in a straight line on the north-south axis as well. But yeah. Okay. Anyway, so now Hadori have said that you could make Kiddush Levana until 16. An interesting point, actually, that Chasam Sofer also brings in that Shuvah is that maybe even though on the face of it over here, Reb Yaakov Ba'idi and the Hadori are arguing and saying one saying the set till the 7th and the other till the 16th, maybe in fact, Api Kabbalah, we don't do Kiddush Levana, we try not to do Kiddush Levana until the 7th of the month. So maybe actually then the maybe actually Reb Yaakov Ba'idi we can say is referring to the earliest time for Kiddush Levana according to that, and the Nahav Dorya referring to the latest time. Lamaisa, the poskim say there are a few poskim who say you could do Kiddush Levana even from. There are a few Rishonim who say that you could do it even from Rosh Chodesh onward, as soon as the moon is visible. The majority of poskim hold the moon's light has to be sufficient that you'll have some hana from it, and therefore that's a minimum of 3 days from the molad. And then Api Kabbalah, we try to wait 7 days, unless I think the Tzemach Tzedek, for example, talks about if it's cloudy, if it's a time of year when it's cloudy, and you may not have an opportunity after the you may not have an opportunity later in the month, then you could be soymech and do it from the third. Okay. Anyway, continuing the Gemara. The Tavayu Rabbi Yochanan and Sviralahu. Now both the Nahav Dori and Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi both agree with Rabbi Yochanan that you can say Kiddush Levana ad shetismalach until the concavity of the moon is filled in. So what does that mean? Hal mevi ki yisra. So the first opinion of Yaakov Ba'idi says once the moon has become a half circle, so it's not concave anymore. You have the there's no inner curve to it. Then it means it's full for that purpose. Hal mevi ki nafya, as opposed to the Nahav Dori are holding it means completely full, as in like a round sieve. Nafya means a sieve, meaning in other words completely full. The halacha is like the Nahav Dori, but again, Api Kabbalah, we try to wait till 7 days from the molad.
Nahadai's
The
explanation.
Nahav Dori's explanation is that when the moon is completely full, the ad shetismalach b'masa means when it's completely full, which would be the 16th, approximately. Meanwhile, the other opinion was when it's a half circle. When it's a half circle, then at that point, b'masa is filled in. Now it's not pogrom anymore. Now it's in. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Omer le Rab Acha mi difti le Ravina. So Rab Acha mi difti asks Ravina.
If it's half circle, it is pagum. How can you say it's not pagum half circle?
So according to the well, it's pogrom in the sense that it's not a full circle, of course. But Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi
Exactly.
is taking right. But Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi is taking the view that ad shetismalach pegimasa, the word pegima, according to him, means in other words that it should be that it's not concave anymore. Once it reaches 7 days in the month, it's not concave. Yes, it's not completely full, but at that point, you can't say according to that definition, it's not pogrom either. According to one definition of pogrom.
No, but
Where does he get it from that pagum means concave?
because you see in other places where pogrom means concave, you see, for example, when it comes to a shchita knife, for example, that a pgima in the shchita knife means a nick in it. So at this point, there's no nick in the moon anymore. Okay. So the Gemara continues. So now, if we have, so again, according to these two opinions, in particular, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov, in particular, according to the opinion that you can do it only until only So the question is like this. According to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying that you can only do Kiddush Levana until 7 days. The fact is that, yeah, the moon is getting larger during the rest of the month, till the middle of the month. So at that point then, why from the 7th until the 16th of the month, why can we not say the Bracha HaToy Vametiv? Meaning, in other words, yes, fine, you can only say Mechadesh Chadoshim, the bracha of Kiddush Levana, that Hashem renews the months, fine, you can understand that you can only say it until the moon is a half circle. But why, according to that opinion, shouldn't we say that during the next few days after that, instead you can say the bracha Atoy V'Ametiv, because after all, Hashem is doing us more and more good by giving us more and more light from the moon.
Because you said that it starts at a certain point, so therefore we could add another bracha.
Not starts. No, forget. Under the assumption, again, the Chassam Sofer is saying that maybe we could say to fit with what it says, Api Kabbalah, that you should wait till 7 days. Then you can say that Rav Yaakov Bar Idi's opinion means that you should start at 7 days. But strictly speaking, that's not what he means. He actually means 7 days into the month is the deadline for Kiddush Levana. The question is then, Rashi says, fine, so according to him, you can't say Mechadesh Chadoshim after 7 days because it's not so new anymore. But shouldn't you say Atov V'Ametiv? So that's a point of Rashi. The Marshal says that actually, no, you don't have to say that. You could really say the question is on the Nahardoi as well. Maybe we should be saying both brachas. Anyway, so Omalei, so Ravina answers, Otu ki chosu mimavachin al Diana Emes. Think of it, when the moon is getting smaller, do we say the bracha Diana Emes? Delivered Hatov Ametiv, that when it's getting larger, it would be appropriate to say Hatov Ametiv. Those two brachas go together. You have, for good news, a person says Hatov Ametiv, when the good news affects him and others. When it's not such good news, Rahman al-Islam, then he says Diana Emes. But those two things go together. If you're not going to say one, why are we saying the other? Well, the Gemara asks, "Nu v'levrachinu l'tavayu taka." Maybe we should. Maybe we should. Every single month, we should be saying Hatov Ametiv in the first half and Diana Emes on the second half. And the Gemara answers, "Kiven dahainu urche," because the normal way of the moon, it's the normal way of the moon. It's the normal way that the Eibishter set up the world. Loy mevarchinan, so we don't make a bracha on that. In other words, when do we say atov ametiv or dina emes is was something that's you can say where there was a puronus or where there was a special chesed. Here where it's a normal thing every month. It's like that and it's unchangeable. Then there's no reason to make either of those brachas.
I didn't understand the question again. You explained it somehow better.
Okay, so the question was according to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, why are we not saying Mechadesh Chadoshim until the 7th day of the month or Hatov Ametiv after that? According to Maharshal, maybe even both. Maybe every time we say Kiddush Levana, we should also say Hatov Ametiv. According to the Maharshal, the question is why we shouldn't say both brachas to begin with, according to everybody. Yeah. And the Gemara continues.
How can you say both brachas when one is about good and when the other one is about bad?
No, both brachas, as in Mechadesh Chadoshim, the bracha of Kiddush Levana, and Hatov Ametiv. The question was, according to Marshal, the Gemara is asking why we shouldn't say both every month. And the answer is, listen, if we said Diana Emes in the second half of the month, then it would be appropriate to say Hatov Ametiv in the first half. But since we're not saying Diana Emes, and we don't, because you don't say Diana Emes for something that's natural and predictable or like that. So therefore we don't say Hatov Ametiv either.
Well, 1 second. The declining of the moon is also a bracha, because otherwise there wouldn't be an enlargement of the moon.
Okay, you know,
if
you're going to go like that, when a person passes away, it's also, you know, eventually it means that he's going to come alive by Tchias Amesim, right? But nevertheless, we still say dynamis when a person passes away. Everything that Hashem does is for the good ultimately, but there's still those things that appear to us good and those things that appear to us not so good.
Well, yeah, but when a person passes away, that's very different. She doesn't come back.
Well, he does, but it's amazing. But in any case, the point is...
We don't know if it's the same person.
Okay, and we say no. Diana Emes about other bad news as well. A person would say Diana Emes about significant financial loss, for example, even if the next day he might win the lottery and get it all back. You know, I mean, each individual thing that happens, you bless Hashem for. But here we're saying you have something, which this is the natural way of the world. You can't call it, Rashi says, you can't call it din pur onus or a hatava of chesed when it's waning and waxing respectively. All right, let's go on.
Crop the gravel.
What?
He think this is
The
the
crops are growing.
biggest.
They wouldn't
Yeah, the
grow
crops
without
are growing,
rain.
but the crops are growing fine. But they're doing that every day when the sun shines as well. And we don't say atovameter for that.
But you
Okay.
need both.
No. Okay. Let's go on. We have to recognize the goodness of the Eibishter, and we make many brachas, but these particular brachas are meant for things that couldn't have been so predictable, basically. The Gemara continues. V'omer of Acha b'Chanina, omer of Asi, omer of Yechanan, kol mevorach al chodesh bizmanay. When a person makes a bracha on the new moon in its time, is as if he's greeting the face of the Shechina. And we know that ksiv hacha this month shall be for you Rosh Chodesh. By the Shiras Hayam, we have the expression also zeh. So we have the Gzeder Shava that just like the that just like by the just like the but just like by the Yamsuf, they saw the Shechina, and zeh keli was marabetz boy v'omazeh. They could point with their finger to the Shechina. So the same way it is when we're being Mekadosh, when we're being Mekadosh Levana. What are the what's the connection? Why should it be that making that kiddush levana is like makabel pnei shechina? So there's two major approaches in the Mefarshim. Rabbeinu Yonah explains that look, we can't see Hashem himself, but how do we know of Hashem and of his greatness is through the things that he does. So when we do kiddush levana, and that's really, we're not just thanking Hashem for creating the moon, we're thanking Hashem for creating the entire solar system, the entire universe. We're using the opportunity because the moon has a very short cycle and a very obvious cycle, and therefore we use that opportunity to thank Hashem for all the great things that he did in creating the entire astronomical universe out there. Well then, in that case, that's like makabel pnei shechina, because that's the recognition that Hashem creates and runs the world. Then Marashah gives a long explanation over here that it has to do with the fact we know we Jewish people are compared to the moon, as we say, in fact, in the Bracha. So therefore, so in Golos, we're not able to see Pnei Shechina. But then when we see the moon waxing, that shows, yes, it's a siman for us that we are going to wax, we're going to become greater, and we're going to be able to be makabel pnei shechina. So therefore, even now, when we say Kiddush Levana every month, then it means that we're being makabel pnei shechina in miniature. In various places in Chassidus, it talks about the deeper idea behind all of this. The moon represents Malchus, and Mekabel Pnei Shechina means that you're bringing down Malchus into our world, and therefore, and therefore, it's also like Mekabel Pnei Shechina. So the Gemara continues.
There's one thing about the moon. It's an incredible way to show to the Ode Kochavim that Avodah Zarah really is nothing. It doesn't have any place in this world.
I guess there is
And I
that. I
think
mean, there were actually goyim who worship the moon, but okay, I hear. Yeah, but
no,
yeah,
but
it's true.
we don't worship with the moon. We
No, of
make a
course not,
bracha to
but
the Eibishter.
of course, obviously, but yeah, the fact is, it's true. You're right. Avraham Avinu discovered Hashem partly by considering the paths of the sun and the moon. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara continues.
How
Tana Veda.
come?
Yeah, what?
How come? How did you
Because.
discover Hashem?
Because he realized after a while, he realized first he thought the sun might be the ruler of the world, but then he realizes the sun sets, the moon sets, everything changes, everything goes away sometimes, and then he realized eventually that Hashem must be the one who's orchestrating it all. So the Gemara continues, Tanit Veda Bishmal, if the Jewish people were not zoicha in all the other mitzvahs, and we only had this one mitzvah to welcome the face of their Father in heaven once a month, dayim would have been enough, that we should be sameach b'chelkei just for having that one opportunity. Omer Abaya, so Abaya says, since you're telling us that it's like Kabbalas pnei Shechina, and it's so important, Hilkach, therefore, Nemirinu Umar, we should be saying Kiddush Levana standing in honor of the Shechina. And the Gemara continues, Maremo Mazutra, Mekatfe Adodia Mavorchi. Maremo and Mazutra would lean on each other's shoulders in order to make the bracha. So what does that mean? Now, the word Adodi is in parenthesis over here. In fact, Marshall takes it out because there are a couple of different meanings. There are a couple of different explanations of what this phrase in the Gemara means. One, the word Makatfi Adodi means they're leaning on each other's shoulders, or they're leaning on other people's shoulders, which mean Maremah and Mazutra were old and they couldn't stand easily, so they would have people supporting them so they could lean on people's shoulders so they're able to make the bracha. But then without the girsa hadadi would mean makatfi would include the point that they're making they're going outdoors. They're not just sitting on a chair inside or something and doing kiddush levana, but they're going outdoors, which is also part of kabbalas pnei shchina. That we're if we're welcoming the shchina, we do it outdoors. This is why we make sure we don't do it under a roof or under a tree or whatever. And it would also include the Meiri also adds that it means that they would be jumping. They would be jumping in joy for the mitzvah, which we also do Kiddush Levana. On Kiddush Levana, we rise up on our toes when we're saying Baruch Oisech, etc. So all of those things are included in this phrase, Makatfi or Makatfi Adadi. The Gemara continues, Amalei Rav Achal or Rav Ashi, B'ma'arava, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, the Loshen, the Nusach of the Bracha is, they say, B'mavochi Baruch Machadish Chadoshim. They say a short Bracha, they say, blessed is Hashem who renews the months. Omalei, sort of Ashi says, why are they saying that? Hi, Noshididan, Nami Mevorchin. Such a short bracha, all women could also say such a bracha. In other words, that's not the right nusach of the bracha. The bracha has to be longer than that. An interesting point. There's a number of explanations. The number of explanations. What Rav Ashi means by that? Does he mean, in other words, that we need to say it with Shemu Malchus? Marsha understands that Marsha understands him to be saying that Rav Ashi is saying, wait a minute, they're saying the bracha without Shemu Malchus. You have to at least do that. So fine, I can understand. For example, he says women, they're not always tahor, so therefore they may not be able to say Hashem's name. But properly speaking, the bracha needs Hashem's name. Also, Marsha says, listen, if you're talking such a short thing, sure, then they could say it. Listen, you're going to be saying it baal peh. You're not going to have light by night to be able to see it. So therefore, so necessarily, if they don't know it, if they don't know the whole long bracha baal peh, they're going to have to say a short bracha. But is that really the correct nusach? It should be something longer. By the way, you ever heard of the expression Kiddush Levana Oisius? You have in the Siddur, the bracha of Kiddush Levana is printed in larger letters. And the reason taka is because, you'd be saying it outdoors with less light. So you need as much light as possible to see the letters. Anyway, so that's how Marsha explains the question. There's a number of other explanations what Rav Ashi means by that. And one interesting point is Bechlal, does this Gemara imply that women do say Kiddush Levana? Lamaisa, the minhag is not to, and the Magen Avraham brings that point and brings several reasons why women don't do Kiddush Levana, yet we see from our Gemara over here that on the face of it, they do. One answer is, in fact, that if they're only going to say Mechadish Chadashim, then yes, women can say it. But since we say a longer bracha, and we're mentioning in particular the fact that the moon does wax and wane, and it's brought in Svarim, that ultimately that has to do with Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas, so therefore it's not appropriate. That's one reason why it's not appropriate for women to say Kiddush Levana. So yes, so if they're going to be saying the long bracha, which we in fact say, then Taka women aren't going to say it. Anyway, so Ella Kedid of Yehuda. So Rav Ashi says, rather the Kedid of Yehuda, Amar Kedid of Yehuda. Rather, the way we have to say the bracha is the way Rav Yehuda said it. The Amar of Yehuda, Baruch V'cholah. We start with the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Asher b'ma'amorei bara shchakim, that Hashem with His word created the heavens. Shchakim is the name of one of the levels of the heavens. Over ruach piv, and with the breath of His mouth, kol tzavam, He created all of their hosts, all of the stars and planets and whatnot that populate the skies. Marsha points out, by the way, Ruach Piv suggests like a very insubstantial breath, because that's all Hashem needs. Hashem doesn't need effort in order to create all these things. Just a puff of breath, so to speak, from Hashem's mouth is enough to create the world. We continue. Hashem gave them an appointment and a time. Shalishana was tafkidam, that they don't change their behavior. They don't change. They move in a constant motion the way that Hashem set them up. We say also in davening in Tilim, choik nosan v'lo yaver, using the same expression of choik. And it means, in other words, each one has their particular time, the sun by day, the moon by night, and Zman means that they have their specific time in which to circle the earth. We continue in the bracha. Sosim was smechem lasus et senkainam. They rejoice and they're happy to do what their creator wants. They do their job besimcha. Rashi points out, we have in the pasuk Yosis ki gibber, like son, every day when it comes out, it's like a hero, like a mighty man, rejoicing and coming out to go and serve in the army. So the same way the sun is and the moon and all the other planets are happy to do their job. In fact, Mao Shuo adds, the point is, even the moon, we're saying the moon ultimately, why is it waxing and waning? It all started with the moon complaining and saying, you would think now it should be upset that every day it's going to be, sometimes it's going to be waning, sometimes it's going to be waxing. It depends on the sun for its light. No, it's still happy to do what it's supposed to do. We continue in the bracha. Poyalei emes, they the tzva shemayim are faithful workers. Shapulos and emes, their work is done faithfully. That's the girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara. Tosfos brings a girsa, which is how we have it in Alter Rebbe's nusach. Poyal emes, that the word poyal emes in the singular refers to Hashem. Hashem is the worker of truth. Shapulosoi emes, his work is truth. Meaning, Maharsha says, after all, again, we're talking about the fact that the moon has been diminished. You could argue, people could think maybe that was unfair of Hashem, Chas v'Shalom. No, we're saying it was be'emes and bedin, that it had to be done, and Hashem did it, and Hashem did it justly. Then we continue in the bracha. V'lalavona omer, to the moon Hashem said, shetischadish, that it should renew every month. Ateres tiferes, this is a crown of glory. La'amusei voten, to we Jewish people who are described in the pasuk as being carried in the womb. Hashem, so to speak, carries us at all times, like the way a mother carries her baby in the womb. So there, and the moon is a siman of glory for us, because the fact that the moon, even after it disappears, it comes back again, that represents again how we Jewish people, we have our ups and downs. But nevertheless, it's still we're going to come back. It comes back new every month, and so we Jewish people also, even after Malchus Beis David seems to have disappeared, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, and he's coming back with Mashiach. In fact, it's brought in Sfarim, by the way, that David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, which we say during Kiddush Levana, is the same gematria as the words Rosh Chodesh. We finish off the bracha. All the for the yotzram, that the purpose of all of this is that we should praise and glorify Hashem. Al shem kvod malchusei, for the name of the glory of His kingdom. And we finish off the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem machadish chadash, and blessed are you Hashem who renews the months. So that's the nusach of the bracha, says Rav Ashi, that we should be saying. Okay. So this is the basic thing is to say the bracha, and then in addition we have the various psukim. What?
I became a little curious.
Yeah, about what?
That somebody might say that the Emisher diminished the moon for not just reason.
Yeah.
On what basis?
You might say that. Listen, why did Hashem diminish the moon? Is that really fair? What, instead of the sun, or instead of why did Hashem have to? Whatever the point is, that a person.
The argument is that for complaining, you don't get diminished.
Yeah, let's say. But now we're saying poor Emisher, poor Los Amos. Yeah. Okay, let's go on. The Gemara says, here, so now, again, the reason why we got into this is because it was a drosha of Rav Acha Bachanina, Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yechanan. So now the Gemara read that, and this was part of a few droshas from him, where the first one had been in connection with Eidus. So now the Gemara brings another drosha from that same chain of Amiroyim. The Pasuk says, Ki b'sach bolis tasa l'chom l'choma. With tachbolis, which is simple meaning, means strategies you will make for yourself war. So what is this word? So in other words, the point is, you're fighting a war. It's not enough just to have raw power. You need strategies. You need tactics. So Amar of Acha Bachanina, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yechanan, b'miyata motzim ochamta shel Torah, by whom do you find the war of Torah, who's able to actually fight and win the war of Torah? B'mishi yesh b'yad chavilas shel Mishnah. A person has bundles, chavilas, tachbulas, meloshet chavilas of Mishnah. When he knows lots of Mishnayas, lots of facts in Torah, then he's able to go and delve into it and figure out the details of it. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains, you might have a person who's a great Baal Svara, but he hasn't learned many Mishnayos and Braises, so then he's going to come up with all kinds of Svaras, but they're not going to be grounded in any kind of reality of Torah. So he needs to know the facts, he needs to know the underlying facts, and then he can be mefalfel, and then he can come up with the facts. Then he can come up with derivations based on those facts. In fact, we find Kori Rabbi Yosef Anafshe. Rabbi Yosef said about himself, where Rabbi Yosef was known to be a great expert in Mishnayos and Braises, and elsewhere the Gemara calls him Sinai because of that. And he said on himself, "Rov Tvuas Bekoyach Shur." Much grain, much, a lot of crops are produced with the strength of the ox. He's also referring to the fact the ox is the symbol of Yosef, and his own name is Rabbi Yosef. So he's representing the point that because he put an effort to know this tremendous amount of Mishnayos and Braises, so therefore he's able to bring out from it great grain and great produce of Torah.
What is the metaphor?
The metaphor is that the same way as you need an ox in order to, you need the strength of an ox in order to get a bountiful harvest, the same way Rabbi Yosef, who's compared, who's like Yosef, his namesake, is compared to an ox. You need that power in order to get a great harvest of Torah. The Gemara continues. We said in the Mishnah, Echad Omer B'Shtei Shos Chula, we said that if one aide said that that the event happened at 2 hours in the day and the other one said 3 hours, then we said the aedrus is still kosher because we, what we said, Machlokas, Reb Meir, and Reb Yehuda. What we said, then the aedrus is kosher. And then if it was 3 versus 5, or it was a Machlokas, Reb Meir, and Reb Yehuda, whether it's kosher, can we say how much, they were mistaken as far as the time? Now, the Mishnah had also said, I'll say yes. Omer of Shimi Ba'ashi, Lo Shono El Shois. This is only when there's a discrepancy as far as the hours. One says 2, one says 3, one says 3, one says 5. Aval Echad Omer Kodem HaNetzachama, Ve'Echad Omer La'acha HaNetzachama. But if one says it was before sunrise and the other one says after, Eidus and Patela, then their Eidus is bottle because there's no way that people are going to get mixed up between before and after sunrise. Which, by the way, the Oruch HaNer points out, you know, the Gemara in Psachim that we talked about the other day mentions the point that there might be a cloudy day and people are not going to know what time it is. So why don't we say here it was a cloudy day and therefore they couldn't tell? And the answer is precisely the fact that they're saying before Netzachama or after Netzachama indicates that they were able to tell whether sunrise had happened yet. Anyway.
They're saying that it wasn't a cloudy day.
Well, yeah, in other words, or even if it was, that they're able to tell, nevertheless, whether it was before or after Netz, yeah. So there is a point. The Oruch HaNer goes on to say that maybe actually the fact is most days are not cloudy. So he says maybe in fact if we knew a particular day it was cloudy, maybe it would work. Well, the Gemara says Peshitta. On the face of it, this seems to be very obvious because yeah, the difference between before Netz and after Netz is very obvious. In fact, the Yad Ramah points out, after what we said in the Mishnah, that if one says 5 hours in the day and the other one 7, we said the Eidros is batal because 5 is before Chatzos and 7 is after Chatzos. If we don't expect them to mix up that, for sure we can't expect them, for sure we can't think they would mix up between before Netz and after Netz. So yeah, El or rather, so rather the Gemara corrects Rav Shimi Ba'ashi's statement. One says it was before Netzachama and the other one says it's while the sun is what? While the sun is rising. So the Gemara says, Honami Pshita, still it's Pashut, it seems a very obvious difference. And the answer is, Mawdatema, Ha-Begiluya-Koi, maybe the one who says that it was during the time of Netz was actually standing in an open area without walls or things around it. He saw the rays of the sun. He saw the rays coming over the horizon, and he thought it was the actual sun rising. But maybe not. And maybe we should say that still it was actually before sunrise. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rav Shimi tells us that it's not so, and we don't assume that he made such a mistake like that. Okay. We said in the Mishnah of Achakach Machnisin Chula, then we said we bring in the second aide and we start cross-examining him as well. And now we said in the Mishnah that we said if one of the we said if any of the aidim want to say anything other than their aiders, we don't listen to them. But if one of the talmidim sitting in front of the basin, we said if he wants to say a schus on behalf of the accused, then not only do we listen to him, but we said we bring him up to the bench together with the dayanim, and he joins them. But then the Mishnah had said he doesn't go down from there all day long. So the Gemara says, Oisayim, so you're telling me he only stays with them that day and then he goes back to his seat among the Talmidim. Vahatanya, we learn a brayseim, yesh mamash bidvarav. If what the Talmud said is acceptable and they realize that what he said is a very good point, loy ho yod misham la'olam, then he would never go down there from there. So it means, okay, the Me'iri says doesn't mean literally forever, then we would end up having more members of the Beis Din than we're supposed to. It means as long as this, it means until this case is dismissed, until this case is over one way or the other. So, but not, but in other words, but the Mishnah is saying, Oseayim, v'im ein mamash bidvarav, and if what we're saying is not so acceptable, ein yored kol hayom kulo, then he doesn't go down all that day, k'dei sh'lo tehe aliyasa yorid aloy, so that his going up is not a coming down for him. So in other words, it would be embarrassing for him that if he goes down on the same day, then it's gonna then people are gonna realize that what he said was meaningless, and he's gonna be embarrassed. So what does the Mishnah mean? Omar Abaya, Targuma, in Mamash Vidvarav. Fine, explain that that's what the Mishnah means also. When it says, Loi Ha Yod, Misham Kolayim Koloi, means regardless, he's not going down from there all that day. Even if it was in Mamash Vidvarav, let him sit with them for the rest of the day. The next day, they'll tell him in private, you know what, Zait Mich Gesund, go back to your place, please. But on that day, he stays there. But yeah, the Brai says, adding another detail, that if there was Mamash Vidvarav, then he gets to sit with them for the remainder of that case. We said in the Mishnah, Motzuloi Schus Chula, we said if they found him a Schus, then they patter him. If not, then they get together in pairs and they start deliberating over it. And we said that when they're deliberating over it, they should not be drinking. The Mishnah had said they don't drink wine all day. Why? Yain my time aloy. Why Dafka not wine? Because the Pasuk says, Ulu Roiznim a Sheikhar. For Roiznim, the simple meaning of Roiznim means rulers or noblemen or something like that. A Sheikhar, it's inappropriate to be having strong drinks. So we douse in the word Leroiznim, Ha'oiskin Beroze Shel Olam, people who are involved with the secret of the world, people who are involved with Dini Nefashis. The people who are involved with Dini Nefashis, then Al Yishnakru, they should not be drinking wine so that they can so that they can think it over with a clear head. Tosfos points out actually that we have elsewhere where the Gemara says Shoser Revius Yain Al Yoda, that in any case a person drank a revius of wine, he's not allowed to paskin halacha. Tosfos says that's as far as matters of Isur Veheter. A dayan or a rub is not allowed to paskin matters of iser v'heter after having drunk a revius of wine. But other than that, for example, dinin mominus, he would be allowed to at that point, but dinin nefoshes was saying he's not, which is why they wouldn't drink wine. Next, the Mishnah had said, Motzuloi schus chula. We said if they found him a schus, so this is actually in parenthesis because really the Gemara is quoting at this point the next part of the Mishnah. Don and Elu Keneged Elu Ad Shiyira. They start, we said, what happens? You have a case where, let's say, you have ultimately, you have 30. So let's say we started out with a base din of 23. We said, let's say that we had 12 saying that he's in, 12 saying he's guilty, 11 innocent. We can't convict him because you need a super majority of two. So we said you add two dayonim and then they re-deliberate it. Then another two dayanim and so forth until we get to 71. Eventually, we get to 71. What happens at that point? You have 36 voting to convict and 35 to acquit. Again, that's not enough of a majority to convict him. But on the other hand, we can't really let him go free either because we have a majority against him. So what do? The Mishnah had said, don and elu keneged elu, and they start deliberating among themselves in pairs until we get one person, until we get one dayan from one side to switch to the other side. And then the Mishnah had used the expression ad sheyira, until one of them sees and finds acceptable the opinion of the other one. So the Gemara says, loy ro mai, well, what happens if nobody ends up changing his mind? Omer Rav Acha potunosis. So Rav Acha says, at that point, we exonerate the guy because, listen, we don't have enough of a majority to convict him. V'chein Omer Rav Yechanan potunosis. Rav Yechanan said the same thing. So the Papa asks Abaye, in that case, why go through this whole rigmarole? Why don't we just, as soon as we have 36 versus 35, then we patter him at that point? Why are we saying first we have to deliberate, see if we can get it to see if we can get it to 37 to 34, 37 to convict, which will be a super majority of two or more? Why do we do that? If anyway, we're saying that if there may be a majority against him and he still goes free, then once we say to begin with, there's 36 to 35, we should just let him go free at that point. Abaye answers, because you don't want them to leave Bastin still mixed up, meaning it's a gnai for Bastin. Rashi explains they should leave with a machloikas without knowing how to decide it. So when you don't have a choice, then you don't have a choice. Listen, they sat among you, they sat together, and they deliberated, and they still couldn't get anybody to change their mind. Then fine, we have no choice, but at least we want to try to get some kind of definitive verdict, and therefore we're going to have them try to come to a verdict one way or the other. So in other words, the basin themselves, it would be a gnai for basin. And Rabbeinu Chananel adds also the point, people, you don't want people to think that, here, look at this guy, he's guilty and he got away with it. So therefore, we want to show that at least we put in all the effort. Ikadamri, another version is of the discussion went like this. The question was to begin with. Now, we said in the Mishnah, again, we start with 23. Then, when we had 12 to 11, 12 to convict, 11 to acquit, then we said we have to start adding dayanim. So, according to the second version, Rav Papa is asking on that. Why add dayanim? Lifted him a beit din hakama, just potter him at that point. You don't have a super majority of two against him. So, therefore, so that's it. Let him go. And according to this version, Abaya tells her papa, you should know Rabbi Yossi agrees with you. The same way as you don't add, you don't ever add to the basin of 71. 71 is the maximum number of dayanim ever. The same way says Rabbi Yossi, you don't add to the basin of 23. So you're right, according to him, if you had a beis din of 23 and they couldn't reach a majority to acquit or a super majority to convict, then you're right, we let the guy go. But the Chachamim disagree with that and say we would add dayanim. Okay. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. When it comes to dinim mamonis, there can be a point in the case where we say nizdaken hadin, which literally means the din has become old, and we're going to explain soon what that means. But we don't use that expression by dinim nefashis. My nizdaken hadin. So the Gemara says, let's clarify. What does that mean? Ilema kash dina. Do we mean that they're saying this din is old, meaning, in other words, it's like an old Talmud Chacham, it's very deep and very difficult, and we can't really get to the bottom of it? Is that what it means? So we're going to say, in other words, that we have to just push it off for the next day. We can't figure it out today. We're going to have to try leave it over for tomorrow. Then it should be the other way around. That by din and nefashis, we're going to say kash dina. We're going to say, you know what, we can't decide it. We're going to have to wait until tomorrow. And by dinin of fashis, we can say, you know what, we'll make a compromise or something. So why? What does the braisa mean? You're right. You have to flip around the braisa and say that you say that by dinin mominus, and that you say that by dinin of fashis and not by dinin mominus. Rav Ashi says, don't flip it around. On the contrary, nizdakin adin means we've been wise in this judgment. We've clarified this. We've gotten to the bottom of it. Nobody else needs to go and investigate it any further. So now we can say that by dinin afasha, by dinin mominus. I can say that by dinim mominus. We've looked into it as much as we can. We can't find any other svaris in it. So therefore, at this point, let's decide the case, and that's that. As opposed to by dinim nefashis, even after gemar din, after all, if somebody finds a schus for him, we can still revote on it. So therefore, we can never say chacham dina. We've gotten to the bottom of it, and we have nothing else to add. that's according to Rashi that when we said we ask that to begin with, kash dina means that we can't figure it out. Means that we can't figure it out, and therefore we have to leave it over for tomorrow. Tosfos has a different explanation. Kash dina means we can't really figure it out at all. So then the question is, well, how can we say that by dinin nefashis? How can we say that? How can we say that by dinin mominus? So again, Rav Huna bar Manoach had said to flip it around, and Rav Ashi explaining it doesn't mean that it's too difficult for us to figure out. It means we have figured it out as much as possible. However, by dinin nefashis, we can't do that because there's always an opening to revisit it. There's a couple of other explanations among Mefarshim. What exactly the Yad Rama gives an explanation that what we mean is that the question was when we said that if we're saying kash dina, does that mean that we should just pat to the guy misafik? So then the Gemara is asking by dinin nefashis, we should do that all the more. And then by dinim mominus, we shouldn't do that because, after all, you only need a majority of one. So what do you mean? One way or the other, you're going to have a decision. As opposed to by dinim nefashis, you could have where you have a majority but not a super majority. So we're saying it means chacham dina means that we figured it out as much as possible, and there's nothing else to add to it. So we can say that by dinim mominus, but by dinim nefashis, there can always be something to add. The Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction to this explanation. When they're going to make this announcement, it would be the greatest of the dayanim who says that. So if you're going to say like Rav Ashi's explanation that nizdakin adin means chacham dina, we understand why the gadol is the one who's saying that. He's the one who knows how much they've put in effort into understanding and then turning over and trying every possible angle on it, and he's the one who would most be able to say at this point we really can't find any other angle on it. Ella yamat kash dina. But if you're telling me it means it's too difficult, we have to leave it over for tomorrow, according to Rashi, or we can't come to a conclusion at all, according to Tosfos. Why shouldn't it be? Why should it Davka have to be that the greatest one is the one that says it? Kasufi hu dekom michsif nafshe. Isn't that embarrassing himself saying that we can't, that I'm the greatest of the Elyonim, and we still can't figure it out? And the answer is ain. Yeah, we should do that. You can't compare a person who gets embarrassed on his own to someone who's embarrassed by others. When he himself says kashdina, yes, it means that he's acknowledging that he doesn't know something, but at least that's better. It's less of a bizillion for him than for one of the other dayonim to have to say that about him. Okay. Ikadamri, then some say that the question and answer from the Braisa was the other way around. Iyamet b'shleima kash dina. If you say that the meaning of Nizdak and Adin is kash dina, it's too difficult, we have to leave it over for tomorrow, or we may never reach a conclusion. I knew, then we can understand why the Gadol Shel Bnei Yonah should be saying it, because like we said, Ein Adin Misvayish Me'atzem Lo Misvayish Me'acherim, we would rather have that he himself is going to have to embarrass himself by saying that rather than other people telling it to his face. Eli Amr Chacham Dina, but if you say it means, like Rav Ashi says, that we've gone through every possible thing in this din, and there's nothing more to add to it. Gadol Ashbuchi Mashbach Nafshe. Why should the Gadol, why should the leader of the Beis Din be praising himself, saying, look what a good job we did on this case? After all, the pasuk says, "Let somebody else praise you, not your own mouth." And the answer is shiny milsa debate dinner da godol ramya. It's different when it comes to matters of the Beis Din than it is the responsibility of the godol to make such announcements. Kiditnan, like we learned earlier in the Masechta, gomru asadova. We said when they finished the din Torah, when it comes to dinim amanus, hoy machnisin oisan. We brought them back in, and we talked about that, and can mean it means the edim, it means the bale din, depending on how we looked at it in the Gemara over there. Anyway, godol shabab dayonin oimer, and it's the greatest of the dayonim that says ish pleni atazak. So you see that announcements like that are up to the greatest member of the Beis Din. So the same way over here, the announcement Kash Dina Nizdak and Adin means that Chacham Dina, as Ramashi says, means it should be up to the leader of the Beis Din to say it. Yes, it means that he's praising himself and saying, "Look what a good job we did on this case." But that's how it is. The Gadol Shel Bnei Yonin makes such announcements regarding the case. Hadron Allah Hoyu Boykin. Now that we've dealt with the cross examination of the Edim, now we have. So now if the guy's acquitted, of course, there's nothing more. But now we have. What if he's convicted? Now we have to talk about the procedure of Misas Beis Din. So our Perek is going to focus on Skila. And then the next Perek is going to talk about the other three Misas Beis Din. Bepashtus, the reason, first of all, Skila is first, according to the Chachamim, but actually, of the Rambam list, there are 36 Averis for which a person is Chayav Misas Beis Din, and of them, 18 are fully half of them are Skila. So Bepashtus, that's why the Mishnah is first talking in terms of Skila, and then the other ones are almost more like an afterthought. So the Mishnah says, Nigmar Adin, once the case is over, and the guy has been convicted by enough of a majority, they would take the person out of the city to give him skila. So that's what Rashi explains, that because skila is the first of the Dalad Misses, then first we're going to explain that, and then the next parak is going to go through the procedures of the rest of them. The Beis HaSkila was outside of Beis Din. It was some distance away from Beis Din. Now Rashi says it was just rochuk from Beis Din. It was a little bit of a distance from Beis Din. Rashi doesn't say how much. The Rambam learns and says that it should be 6 mil away from the Beis Din. The Rambam says, because you think of it, Moshe Rabbeinu is Beis Din in the Midbar, was in the middle of the Machna. The Machna, the camp of the Jewish people, was 12 by 12 mil. And since the Pasuk always says, Hotzi mechutz la Machna, take the person outside the Machna to be executed, so therefore they would have to walk 6 mil, So the Gemara is going to learn over here. It has to be chutz the gimel machna, so it has to be outside of your shalim or outside of whatever city. But the Rambam, in addition, adds that it should be that far, and that way it gives more of a chance. It gives more of an opportunity for them to find last minute reasons to last minute stays of execution. So it was outside Beis Din Shenema, because the pasuk says Hoitzeh Samakalo, take out the Makalo and execute him outside. So we see that he has to be taken out. One point of it is this way it shows the Beis Din themselves are not murderers. Next. The Mishnah continues, Echad Omer al Pesach Beis Din. They would have a person standing by the door, by the outside the door of the Beis Din, Vasudrin biyodei, and he had scarves or flags in his hands, as we'll see soon. For what purpose? And then there would be a horse, a man on a horse, some distance away from him, where he can still see him. So they would be within eyesight of one another, but far enough where, like this, he could get a head start. If at any point somebody was sitting in Beis Din, I have a reason I can argue for exonerating him. Remember, this is after Gemar Din already, but still, somebody might say, for example, I happen to know that one of those Edim was posel, let's say, or I have reason to know, let's say, that this guy was with me someplace else or whatever. So then, so then the guy standing outside would wave his flags to signal to the horsemen, and the horsemen would go and stop them until Beis Din investigates the new evidence and see whether it's valid. In fact, ma'amidin oisin just means they stop them, which on the face of it just means they wait there, wherever they are, on the way to the Beis Haskila, and meanwhile Beis Din is deliberating, and then afterwards they'll have the flagman signal to the horsemen whether to bring him back or not. The Rambam learns actually that to begin with, what we do is every time we actually bring the accused back to Beis Din, and Beis Din continues and deliberates while he's there, and sees whether because after all, in Gomrim shall judicial Adam Ella Bafanov, and therefore it would mean that we'd actually have to bring him back.
Were you saying that?
So in other words, like this, when we're saying the flagman signals and the horseman goes and tells the people stop, does he actually bring them back to Beis Din, or do they just wait there? And they just wait there, and eventually Beis Din will send a messenger one way or the other. Okay, you know what? We found grounds to exonerate him. Let him go. Or you know what? We found reasons that what this guy said doesn't mean much. Continue taking him to the Beis Haskilah.
Why can't the guy who flags them down?
We want it to be as fast as possible.
From the horse.
That's what we're saying. He is a distance from the horse. We have the horseman to begin with far away enough. Let's say, for example, let's say a person can see, let's say it's terrain where a person could see a mile away. So we'll have the horseman stand a mile away this way. When they're on their way this way, the horseman will have a head start of a mile to be able to tell them as fast as possible. Yeah.
The distance is 3 miles?
The distance, according to the Rambam, is 6 mil, which would be approximately 4 miles. According to Rashi, it doesn't have to be. It just has to be Yerocha from Beis Din Ketzas. It just has to be some distance away from Beis Din. Okay. The Mishnah continues, Va'afilu hu oimer yeshlu lamar al atzmi's chus. Even if the accused himself says, I have an argument in my own favor, machzirin oisa, then we return him to Beis Din to hear what he has to say. We'll do this even 4 or 5 times, as many times as necessary, to see what he's saying. Provided that what he says has some validity to it. In other words, not Stami saying some shtus or whatever. The Gemara is going to explain actually that there's times we bring him, we have people on the way over there to help evaluate whether his claims are valid. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, or Beis Haskilah chutz the Beis Din half of a tuloy. You're telling me the Beis Haskilah is only outside Beis Din and not more? In other words, it can be like right outside Beis Din. V'altanya Beis Haskilah hoya chutz l'sholosh machnas. We learn that the Beis Haskilah, and by the way, Mefoshim say we don't only mean Skila, we mean the other Mrs. Beis Din as well. One reason, first of all, again, we're focusing on Skila in this parak, because the first of the Dalad Mrs. Beis Din, but also the Beis Haskilah, when you think about it, had to have a certain place defined for it, because as we're going to learn later on in the parak, they had to have a particular height to push the guy off of. You can't just find that anywhere, so therefore they had to have a defined place for it. The Ran points out the other Mrs. Beis Din, you have to do them mechutz l'machna as well, but you don't have to have a particular defined area, because there you just bring all the equipment that you need. So the Beis Haskilah was outside the three machnas of the Jewish people. So meaning in the Midbar, it was outside of Machna Yisrael, and in Yerushalayim, it would mean it was outside the city of Yerushalayim. And the same way Rashi, and the same way Tosfos points out, every walled city in Eretz Yisrael has the same din. And therefore, actually, Rashi points this out, that in Yerushalayim, it would mean outside Yerushalayim, in every city also, every city in that sense is like Machne Yisrael, which actually has implications as far as the dinim of a Metzorah, for example. Metzorah has to leave any walled city in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore the Beis Haskilah or the place of the other executions would also be outside of that. So what are you telling me that it's only chutzla based in? And the answer is ain kid kamra. Yes, you're right. It does mean that it has to be outside the Shalosh Machnas. The reason why the Mishnah says it in terms of Michutz the Beis Din, Nafkamina, because the Nafkamina is the Inafik Beit Dina, the Yosef Chutz the Shalosh Machnas. Suppose the Beis Din themselves decides that we're going to sit outside the three Machnas. So you would think that in that case, maybe they can execute the guy right there. Nevertheless, Avdinid Beis Haskila Chutz the Beis Din, we still have to have the Beis Haskila outside of Beis Din, Ki Heifi Dolem Eschazu Beis Din Roitzchin, so that Beis Din don't look like murderers. We still want to have, there should be some distinction between one and the other. Tosfos points out, by the way, there are certain rare cases. We have there are cases where Skila is given al Pesach Beis Din, because the Pesach actually says there's some places where it says Sharecha. So there is that rare exception of a Naira Marasa, where normally she's stoned al Pesach Beis Aviha, by her father's house, and then if she doesn't have a father, then she's stoned in front of Beis Din, but ordinarily it's going to be far away from Beis Din. Inami kiyechid tehevilat sala. Another reason is because you want to give time for him to be saved. Again, the whole thing in the Mishnah where they might find some last minute evidence to acquit him, and we want time between Beis Din giving the Gemar Din and the person being killed. So therefore, we need that we need that extra time.
Walking space.
And we need that extra walking space, right? The Maharam points out that the point is that before the Gemara was assuming it has to be mechutz la machne because of the kedusha of the machne, but now we're saying that in addition, it's not just a matter of the kedusha of the machne; it has to be far away from Beis Din. So we said the Beis Din doesn't look like Rotschim. Then the Gemara brings another reason as well. Okay, menahani mili. Where do we know all this from? So the Tanan Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, as we learned in the Mishnah, Hoitzias HaMakalel El Mechus LaMachne. By the Makalel, the guy who blasts from Hashem, it says, take him outside of the Machne. Now, what does that mean? It means Chutz the Gimel Machnes, means take him out of, means take him out outside all three Machnes. How do you know that it means all three? Maybe it means outside only one machna. Maybe it means he can't. Now you have those three machnas. There's machna shchina, which is the Mishkan, and in future generations it's the Azara. You have machna Levia, the area where the Leviim camped, and in future generations is the Harabayis. And then you have machna Yisrael, which is the rest of the camp of the Jewish people, and in future generations is Yerushalayim. So maybe it means you only have to take the guy outside machna Shechina, and you can execute him in machna Levia or machna Yisrael. No, nemakan mechutz lamachna, v'nemak poim anisrof and chutz lamachna. Because you have this same expression, mechutz lamachna, by the Purim and Yisrof, and the Par Helam Dovash Al Tzibur, and the Par Koyin Mashiach, those we take the bodies of the animals after we've taken out the Emurim and burnt them on them, after we've sprinkled the blood on the Mizbeach and then burnt the Emurim where they're supposed to be, then we take the rest of the body of it, the rest of the carcass out of it, and burn it outside the Machna, and there it's by three Machnas. Malahalan, it's outside all three Machnas. Malahalan Chutz Misholosh Machnas, Lasholosh Machnas, Afkan Chutz Lasholosh Machnas. So the same way as over there, it's outside all three machnas, so it is over here. They found, by the way, when the city of Yerushalayim was starting to expand some 150 years ago, they found an area in nowadays the area of the neighborhood of Sanhedria and places like that. They found a huge pile of ancient ashes, and they did some chemical tests on them, and they found that seems to have been the Beis Hadeshen, where they deposited the ashes from the Mizbeach and where they burnt the Purim and Yisrofim, Masirim and Yisrofim. So the Gemara says v'hosim menolon. Well, in turn, by the Purim and Yisrofim, how do we know it's outside all three machnas? So that in turn, we have the Tonan Abanan. We learn in another brisa when the pasuk says v'hotzias kol aporah mechutz lamachne. When it says take out all of the bull to mechutz lamachne, means chutz l'sholosh machnas, means outside all three machnas. Ata oy mechutz l'sholosh machnas oy ena lechutz lamachne achas. Maybe again, maybe it means only outside of one machna. The korban was brought in the Bais Hamikdash. Maybe you only have to take it to the Harabayis to machna Leviah. No, because you have, again, there's two Purim and Yisrofim that are mentioned back to back in Parshas Vayikra. You have the Par Koyin Mashiach, when the Koyin who was anointed, the Kohen Gadol who was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, made a mistake in Halacha. We're going to learn about that in Masechta Horius at the end of this year, Bez Hashem. And then you have the Parhelim Darshal Tzibur, where the Sanhedrin made a mistake in halacha, and most of the people followed them. So by the Par Ha'eda, by the korban of the Tzibur, the Parhelim Darshal Tzibur, it also says on the Chutzamachna, She'ein Tamad Loimer. Now, I wouldn't have to say that. Sharek Vanemar, Vesoraf Oise, Kasha Soraf Esapora Rishon. It already says that you should burn it like you burnt the earlier par, namely the Par Kohen Mashiach. So Litan Loy Machna Shnia. So far we're saying that you have two machnas. One that says by the Par Kohen Mashiach, and the second one that it says by the Par Helam Davashal Tzibur. Now then you have another pasuk that says that when they clear the ashes off the mizbeach, they take it out mechutz lamachne. So it says also over there that you take it al mechutz lamachne. Now she'ein tamad loymer. Again, it didn't have to say that. Sharei kvar nema al shefach hadashen yisorif, because by the power helam davar shal tzibur, by the power of the kohen gadol, rather, it says it should be burnt al shefach hadashen in the place where they poured out the ashes. So we already know that it's mechutz lamachne. Litan lemachne shlishis. Therefore, we can learn from that that there's three machnas, because we have three different psukim that mention this concept of mechutz lamachne. So therefore all of them are burnt mechutz lamachna, and again then we take from that to the mekalel and to any other person who's chayiv mitzvahs based in that it's also mechutz lamachna, it's outside all three machnas. So the Gemara asks, why do we have to learn it in that way? Or maybe we shouldn't learn that way. Maybe on the other hand, we should learn from the issur of shchut echutz. You're not allowed to shecht korbanos outside the azara, and there it's after outside only one machna. Person shechts a korban and machna levia, he's chayiv koris. So maybe the same thing. And there also it says mechutz lamachna. So maybe we should say that also by the porim and surafim and also by the makalo and everybody else that it's only outside one machna. The answer is mistabra miporim and isrofim havalei lemelaf. It's more logical to learn from the porim and isrofim shekein hoitzei el mechutz lamachne machshir u'mechaper, because we have a simon for several factors that are by the porim and isrofim that we don't have by shchut echutz. First of all, by both of them it says hoitzei, take it out. By shchut echutz it doesn't use that expression in the Torah. Second of all, by both of them it says el michutz lamachne. And by the way, shchut echutz, instead it says that he shechts it michutz lamachne. So it's not the same expression. Third of all, machshir. Both of them is we're doing it. It's a prerequisite for accomplishing the mitzvah. Shchut echutz is on the contrary, taking it outside the azara is the avera. That's not the machshir. That's not a prerequisite for doing the mitzvah properly. Or mechaper. And the fourth thing is in both cases you have a kapara. The parim and isrofim are accomplishing a kapara, and mrs. Basin is a kapara for the person who did the avera. So the question is, Adam Mishchut Echutz have a little melech? Yes, but on the contrary, you can learn from Shchut Echutz, because Shekein, you also have a few factors that make it more similar to Mises Beistin. First of all, Odom, both of them are talking about a person. The person is being taken out to be given skill. The person is Chayiv Kares for Shchut Echutz. Second of all, choite, in both cases, there's a sinner involved. The bull didn't do anything wrong. The people did something wrong, but the bull didn't do anything wrong. As opposed to the person chayiv mitzvahs based in and the person doing shchut echutz are both choitim. They're both sinners who deserve mitzvah. Bin neshama, both of them is... It involves taking away their neshama. The person chayiv mitzvahs based in is having his neshama taken away by being executed. The person who does shchut echutz is losing his neshama to kares. And pigul, and both of them is that neither one is able to accomplish a concept of pigul, as opposed to the parim and isrofim, there can be pigul involved. Pigul is, we're going to learn about it extensively in Masechta Zvachim in about a year from now, B'ez Hashem, but pigul is where doing one of the four main avodas of the korban, they have in mind, the person doing the avoda has in mind that he's going to eat some of it outside the time that it's allowed to be eaten, or burn some of it on the Mizbeach outside the time that it's supposed to be burnt. Now, by the parim and isrofim, it's possible for there to be pigul, because he can have in mind that he's shechting it, planning to burn the emurim outside, to burn the emurim outside the Beis Mikdash, or rather beyond the time that he's supposed to. So then the korban would be pigul, and a person, first of all, a person would be chayiv kares for eating it, and second of all, it means the korban is possible, and they need to bring another one. By makalim shchut echutz, you don't have such a thing. So the answer is, So the answer is machshu, mi machshu, or deflay. The answer is that still it's more logical. It's true. We have four things on each side, but more logical. The machshu is the most important thing. That this is the way the Torah wants the mitzvah to be done is that you take them out mechutz l'machne, as opposed to again the shchut echutz, which is just the opposite. The Torah is saying we don't want it to be done that way. So that's one way of learning it, and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with another way that we can learn that it means outside of three machnas. Tosfos points out a couple of things over here in this connection. As far as when we said Adam, the fact is that if a person were to stand outside the Azara and stick his hand inside or use a very long knife, it would actually be a kosher shechita. So we see that a person could actually be standing outside the Azara and nevertheless shecht korbanos. Tosfos also points out when we said pigle, why are we saying only pigle? Usually the Gemara puts together pigle, noser, and tame, but the point is because we're focusing on things that have to do with taking it out of the machna. It's possible for them to when they're taking out the animal to be burnt again during one of the early avodas, they might have had in mind to burn the emurim, which granted are burnt on the mizbeach. They might have had in mind to do it the next day, as opposed to noser and tame are not really relevant over here. Even though it's true that if there's meat left over from it would be person really chayiv kares for eating it, and it's true that the meat could become tame and a person really chayiv kares, but that's not really fundamentally what we're dealing with over here as far as these part of money surfing. Tosfos remains with one question: why the Mishnah didn't mention also the psul of yotze, that if the blood or the emurim are taken out of the azara, then it becomes posel, as opposed to by the other two things you don't have that. Okay.
Well, it's